April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello! Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you, coming to you after a night spent awake by your guy dealing with a flood in his basement.
Well,
got no sleep, but Elliot, let me tell you one thing, because it was a disastrous night for me. Like, I got no sleep. I had to stay up, like, because it kept leaking, and I was shop vacking all night.
Oh, trust me, James.
Emily
As I texted you, I can very specifically feel your pain.
Well, I sent Elliot, I'm like, rain, man.
Yeah.
Rain.
Yeah.
You were always right.
Tell me,
I
should
have never doubted your take. Emily and I had to sleep in shifts last night so that one of us could be up vacking, shop vacking the house.
Yeah.
I'm so tired,
But.
Dallas sucks! Suck it! Thank you. Hello. Good morning. Welcome to the week.
Well,
I had enough energy for that left.
People are certainly awake now. I'll tell you that much.
That was everything.
You needed that one.
I had to do that.
You needed that one.
God, they suck.
Yeah.
God, what a brutal loss for the Cowboys.
That was. Bad game, too.
Real quick, just I want to, for those who don't, you know, really, the Eagles are playing at home in the NFC Championship game on Sunday.
Yes.
And the Dallas Cowboys season is over.
Done.
They're done. Okay.
They don't have any more games.
It's over.
Yeah. It's next year.
They lost.
Yeah.
They're
out.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay, good. How you doing?
Good.
Nice to see you. Good morning.
Good. I mean, look.
Or I guess bad morning, but I'm here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hello.
You know, it's funny. Last week we were saying how we didn't want the Eagles to lose because we weren't ready for it to be over, right? We wanted to keep doing the morning pods and the championship game. And that's still all true. And I'm excited to get into the game. I will say, it's a little dreary outside this morning to be up at... to be up at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. But here's the good news. At least you're not waking up to a Monday of everyone complaining that the season's
well,
over.
Well, that's really... So I kept saying to Emily as we were going through yesterday as, you know, And it wasn't quite as much solace for her as I think it was for
me. No, can't imagine it was.
But I kept saying, hey, you know how much worse this would be if the Eagles had just lost? Like, at least.
Yeah, and she's like, James, just shut the F up and get the
shop vac some water up. All right, guy?
All right, we'll get some more details, I think, at the end of the
pod we'll get into it. So let's talk, because look, we did the pod after the game. It was super fun.
We had
coming
stuff
into the studio, the stuff crust, a great bit. Everything
feels like
worked
forever
out.
Ago.
It does. It feels like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, forever.
I mean, 38-7. But obviously, since then, we come in this morning, we know what the match will be. Obviously, you know, Dallas lost. We made that clear.
Yeah.
But the Niners, Brock Purdy, the Rook, the Mr. Irrelevant, coming to town. It will be Eagles, Niners, and really, like, you know, it is funny when you spend the whole season going this and that, oh, this could happen, and this team and that team. And then you get to the end of the NFC season, and it's like, oh, yeah, the two best teams.
And it's like, that's who you thought it would be.
Just by a mile, the two teams that everyone thought were the best, that looked like the best throughout the season, that came through when it mattered the most, the two top seeds, the one and the two.
Yeah.
And that's how it's shaking out, and that's how it should shake out. And really, when you look at it, you know, I really think the four best teams are playing. I think the Bengals were just a better football team than the Bills.
I agree with that. The Bills just never put it together.
I think it, you know, you don't always get this. Even last year, I don't think the Rams and Bengals were the two best teams in football last year. I think this year, the four best teams in football are playing for the Final Four, and that's pretty cool, too.
Well, and also, look, we're not doing an offseason pod yet because Eagles are still playing. But you do have to wonder if you're like, if you're a Bills fan this morning, if you're a Bills pod this morning, I mean, you're waking up and you're thinking like, can Josh Allen take the Jalen Hurts lead?
Oh, buddy.
Right? I mean, that's got to be the big question of the offseason, right? Can Josh Allen take the leap that Jalen Hurts did this offseason? Because you have to wonder if they can compete if he doesn't.
I mean, Hurts is better. How long have I said I'd take Hurts over Allen? I just would. I would take Hurts over, especially when you take all the off-the-field stuff and who he is and all that stuff. But,
well, and
he's younger.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a debate for another time. I think you are certainly proving to be more right about that over time.
And look, there's time.
Yeah. You know. I do think one thing that really stood out watching all the quarterbacks this week, we talked about in the postgame pod, but man, Jalen is just so calm in the pocket.
It's amazing.
You know,
I mean, that
and
was
like,
what
he
that,
doesn't
that
turn the ball over.
MJ quote came from. It's like ridiculous that Nick Sirianni's comparing him to Michael Jordan. But after the Michael Jordan part, when he just explains it, he leads. He's our leader. He's calm. He brings a calmness. Yeah. Like, you get it. You're like, oh, I get it. He's just, you know, he's
which
using...
is funny because I don't think of Jordan as like calm. I think of him as much more
intense. Yeah. But he was calm in the sense of under pressure and all that.
But for the Niners and Cowboys game, going into it, like all morning, I was just kind of like deciding who I thought would be the better matchup for the Eagles. And by the time kickoff came, or maybe like an hour or two before, I had convinced myself Dallas was the better matchup for the Eagles.
Which was the correct call.
Yeah, if you could pick, if the Eagles could have picked which team do they want to play, I think you picked Dallas. And I think you probably saw why last night. Like, McCarthy maybe underrated a little just in the way that he has won like 26 games and you won a playoff game. So he's not like a complete disaster. But you saw at the end of the game, like, just, they're not a well-coached team, really, right? Like,
and look, Dak, too. Like, Dak, you got to give it to
Dak had two interceptions, right?
And should have had a third on that last drive.
Yeah. You know,
like, it was a horrible
throw. Yeah, it got dropped.
And also just, you know, had two chances to lead his team down the field to win. Mr., you know, going up against a rookie in a big game, and he came up small.
He did. Now, I do think in a weird way, Dak was playing well for stretches when he wasn't turning the ball over, which is a huge, like, you know, how else was the play, Miss Lincoln thing.
Yeah.
But I do think he didn't look as bad as I thought. But ultimately, the reason I decided Dallas would have been the better matchup is they just know the Cowboys, you know? And I forgot that the Eagles played the Niners last year. It feels like an eternity ago that game happened. Mm-hmm. Like a different, like, lifetime of Eagles.
The second game of last season.
Like, so much has changed since then. But, I do think that ultimately the Dallas would have been the better matchup. And we can get right into it. Or, you know, like, San Francisco's a really, really, it's a tough matchup.
Yeah, and they're a good team.
And, you know, I said this a month ago, and I guess I'll probably stick by it. I do think if the Eagles play their best game, they will win the game. I think that ultimately they are better than the Niners because I think their offense is better. I think they have better skill players than the Niners do. Flat out. And the Niners have good skill players. This isn't, you know, this isn't the Giants, right? This isn't, we're going to be spending all week being like, oh my God, this team is terrible. They have to win the game. It would be a catastrophe. Like, no, the Niners are a good team and they have good players and they have great players, right? And they have players that if the Eagles don't play their best game can beat them, right? But I think that objectively, if you look at it, the Eagles have two better receivers than the Niners do. Kittle and Goddard, we can debate that. Goddard, I think,
Kittle's playing really well right now.
Yeah, they're very I think they're similar. Kind of the same player in a way, and they're both great. You could, you know, flip a coin and decide which day one you think is better. You know, Christian McCaffrey, again, you probably go into the week and go, he's better than Miles Sanders. But maybe when you look at the running game as a whole, the Eagles have a better running game. And I also think to a certain extent, we have to get to a point with Miles where we maybe reshift how we look at him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as good as Christian McCaffrey.
He's not, but
yeah,
I'm saying.
He's good, and the Eagles as a running game are better than the Niners as a running game.
The quarterback. I mean, obviously Jalen is better. Like Jalen is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy.
You can say that. That's significantly better.
And you know, maybe
it's a big advantage. It's one of the biggest.
It's the biggest advantage in the game. Yeah. Now, maybe a year from now, we look back and go, "Yeah, Brock Purdy's pretty good." So who knows? A year from now, And yesterday was, you know, probably the second or third time I've been able to really sit down and watch Brock Purdy. And I do think that he's better than I thought. He is somewhat calm, and the calm in the pocket is not the right word, but he does move in the pocket well. He doesn't run the ball. He only has 5 first downs all year running the ball. So he's not a threat in the, obviously, in the way Jalen or Daniel Jones or those kind of guys are. But he's better than I thought. He throws a nice ball. There were, you know, as normal with a rookie, like a few passes where it's like, why are you throwing that? And the Eagles really, really have to take advantage of those. But I think Brock Purdy, amongst like all the, you know, he's not Jake Fromm. I think he's better than Tyler Heinicke. Like, I think he's not a guy where you go, all right, he's someone that can beat you. But I also think he is, like, because of where he's at and the system he's in and the players around him, he's, you know, he's not a joke of a quarterback. I mean, he's played well for them.
Yeah, he's played really well. He's 8-0 with them, but he's also 8 games. Yeah. And he is, again, whether or not, you know, he's clearly way more advanced than a 7th-round rookie quarterback is expected to be. He's taking what Shanahan's given him, and he's executing and all that stuff, and he deserves a ton of credit, and he's not bad. You know, he's clearly winning games with them, and they do have a phenomenal roster. I think, you know, I think you look at Burrow and Mahomes, and those being the two biggest reasons those two teams are there. I think the two biggest reasons the Eagles and the Niners here, Hurts obviously is a massive reason, but I also think these are the two best rosters in the NFL. If we're just going like pure roster, I think these are the two best rosters in the NFL. And the thing with Purdy, yes, he's played well and all that, but he is still a 7th-round rookie quarterback.
I agree.
Who's about to play his first road playoff game. His first road playoff game, not just at the Link in the NFC Championship game.
So not just his first road playoff game. His 3rd ever road NFL game. And the other two games he's played in, I have it written down.
Well, I loved your college tweet, too. I thought that was...
I was debating holding it, and then I was like, no, let me get the people out. So he's played 2 road games, Seattle and Las Vegas. Seattle, overrated home field at this point.
They're not, a Thursday night game. It was a weird game anyway. They won 21-13 or something like
Vegas,
that.
Vegas, not really any home field advantage
The closest game they played. That was the one that went to overtime,
too. That's a good point.
Let's not forget that.
So Purdy at Iowa State, look, I'm not a huge, like, follow college football guy.
Yeah, it's a very different thing, different players, different team, all that.
Well, I just mean in terms of, like, atmosphere, so I can't speak to, like, if Iowa State plays in raucous environments. I mean, I can't imagine they play in anywhere that's close to the Link, but for whatever reason, let's say they do. So, at Iowa State, 21-4 at home, Brock Purdy was. So when he played at home at Iowa State, he was 21-4. 10-13 on the road.
I mean, that's astounding.
/ neutral site. So, like, you know, bowl
that is
games
astounding. I mean,
it's a massive, massive difference.
Yeah. And again, the Link, you know, debate where it ranks on the toughest stadiums to play, and it's on the list.
Yeah.
And that place is going to be nuts. And again,
I mean, it's louder than San Francisco.
And it again
for sure.
is a massive spot, too. I mean, the kid, you know, he's been pretty unflappable so far. He's still, again, a 7th-round rookie. Walking into Philadelphia to play in the NFC Championship game. I mean, that is, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. I don't care if you're Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, like, it's a big spot.
It's a big spot.
Right.
And, you know, to assume, and look, he might be the exception.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe a year from now, we look back and it's like, he's the next Brady.
Look,
I mean,
so
who knows?
So far he has been. Who knows? Like, so far he has been, and we'll see. But, you know, history says that he's not just going to come in here and it's going to go perfect.
Well, and that's why I think,
Especially against his defense, by the way.
That's where I was getting with it. But also, this sounds corny, but I absolutely think it's true. Like, the Eagles fans are going to have an impact in this game. I hate sometimes when people say that, because, look, at the end of the day, games played on the field, whatever. But I think this actual game is where it really, really matters how loud fans are. Like, getting it loud, making sure, because let's be honest, if they fall behind, who knows? Are fans going to keep, you know, whatever? So I think that that's going to be a massive part of this game. But the other part of it is, and I think this is, when you look at the Niners, their offensive line is better than the Cowboys' offensive line, which is why I also thought the Cowboys would have been a better matchup. They have better tackles.
Trent Williams still one of the best in football.
Yeah, Trent Williams still one of the best in football. They have better interior offensive linemen. I think, I know the Cowboys have Zach Martin, but the 3 overall, I would probably take the Niners 3. But it's going to be key to make sure that you get to Brock Purdy early. We saw Daniel Jones, more experience than Brock Purdy, but we talked about it before the game. Daniel Jones had never played in an atmosphere like that in Philadelphia. The last time he was in Philadelphia, there were 5,000 fans because of COVID. So you saw that the Eagles got after Daniel Jones early. They hit him, and as a result, he looked, you know, he looked shaken the rest of the game. He looked like he was getting rid of the ball early in the pocket. His accuracy was off. It's even more important with Brock Purdy, who's A, not the athlete that Daniel Jones is, not anywhere close to as experienced, and again, a seventh round rookie, right? So this defensive line, they've been awesome this year. Like, all those things are true. This is the biggest game of the year for them. I mean, not just expectations, but in terms of
matchup-wise,
how badly you need them to get to the quarterback and shake him, I think it's absolutely, I mean, it's huge. Now, Trent Williams is a great tackle. I do think Hassan Reddick will be lining up on the other side, which could end up working out, obviously, because Mike McGlinchey, or whatever his name is not as good. So that
local kid.
Yeah, local kid, right, Penn Charter. But ultimately, you know, when you look at the, I'm going to kind of bounce all around here, but when you look at the Niners pass rush, I think it's a really good example of why the Eagles pass rush is so deep and so much better. The Niners have Bosa, who has like, whatever, you know, 30 and a half sacks. Or whatever. Yeah, like some insane number of sacks. But then no one else on the roster after that has more than five. Like nobody. Not a defensive tackle, an end, a linebacker. Nobody. The Eagles, as we know, have four players that are legitimately over 10 sacks. So when I look at the Niners and their pass rush, I'm actually not as worried about it as I would have been the Cowboys pass rush. The Cowboys obviously had Parsons, but then they had Lawrence. They had, you know, Dorrance Armstrong Jr. Like, they had guys that had, like, decent sack numbers. It is very rarely, and we talk about this, you know, often, but it's especially important this week. It is very rarely that one singular defensive lineman comes in and wrecks Eagles' offensive line. Think about the times they've played Aaron Donald, and we go, oh, it's going to be a big matchup for them, and then he's basically a non-factor, right? Micah Parsons leading into the Sunday night game the first time. Complete non-factor, right? Until the end when Lane was out. But I would be surprised if Bosa comes in here and wrecks it. So I do think in the trenches, it's close. You could probably give it to the Eagles if both units are playing their best, but it's not an easy challenge. This is, again, it's not the Giants.
No, and it's, you know, from a talent perspective, and look, I feel incredibly confident. Like, not...
Right, I'm not making
look,
my pick
not
yet.
Where we were last week, obviously. I mean, they could easily lose this game. I do think it is a really close game.
Yeah.
I think it's a tough game. It could go either way, but I think they're a better football team. And look, I mean, you know, the history of this podcast, if I just tell you the Eagles... Jalen Hurts has to beat Brock Purdy at home to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you know, quarterback wins. That feels like
I was going
like
to ask you,
that,
like, do you think it's, because it seems like the lane I would naturally go down.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Right? And I ultimately,
and maybe it will.
Yeah, but I'm just curious, do you think it's that simple?
I don't think it's that simple, obviously, but I think it's a part of it. I think it's a big part of it. And look, I think there's a lot of interesting things with this game. I mean, you know, we both said, you know, shout out to Jonathan Gannon, had a really good week this week.
He did.
Shanahan versus Gannon. I mean, that's going to be a matchup that's going to be fascinating in this game and is going to have a big impact on
this game. Or potentially really bad.
Right. For you, but interesting, I mean, going in to watch. So right. I do think there's...
You should watch out. I don't want you to knock that over.
That's good
looking
out right there.
I'm just trying to help you out.
I am quite tired.
You might know that's
that.
What I mean.
Also, after yelling Dallas sucks at the beginning, I think I hurt my voice a little bit. And I'm like losing it a little
bit.
I'm
sure the people appreciated it.
I think it was worth it. I'm like totally okay with it. But
Shanahan, Gannon.
Yeah, look, it's not the same thing as the Giants. Like, we went into the Giants and we were right. Shout out to us.
And that's why they needed the warm-up
game.
We were going
to dominate the Giants, and we did. I'm not going in saying we're going to dominate the Niners, but I do think that they are the favorite. You know, we had a lot of questions coming in, and obviously after how they played, you know, you expect them to be favorite, but the Eagles, you know.
Slight favorite. I don't know if it's moved since this morning.
Two and a half, So. You know, they are the favorite, and they should be the favorite. And I think that's where I come down, is that they are the better team. They've been the better team this year. They are at home. They have the better quarterback. They, you know, again, are going against a rookie seventh rounder on the road in a big spot. Like, you know, again, I do think you're right. These teams are super evenly matched from a skill talent perspective. But in the end, if I'm going to look at it with the home field advantage with Jalen over Purdy, the Eagles should win. Like, the Eagles should be the favorite, is my point.
So, excuse me. What's interesting is, if you look back to last year where they played each other, and the Eagles lost that game. I think
it was a close game. It was like 17-11, 17-12, 19-11,
I think, is what
like
it was. But what's interesting
is... It was definitely, like, not more... It wasn't eight, but
either
way.
Okay. If you look back to that game, what's interesting is, remember, that was the game where the Reagor touchdown got called back. Mm-hmm. And I think they had another one called back, too.
Was that the one where they had two? Because I know they had one.
There was
game
a Carolina game where they had two. So it was during that stretch, though, where they were getting touchdowns called back all the time.
Guys, seven out of bounds.
And what's interesting is, when you look, the Eagles roster is so much different, and the Niners roster, not that different. I mean, they have McCaffrey now,
Jimmy
but they had
G
Debo, they had Kittle, they had Jimmy G, and you can debate at, you know, if it's much of a difference between Jimmy G and Purdy. And it is interesting. You hear the things about Jimmy G could be ready. I would be floored if they played him.
Oh, no way. Maybe he's backup or something. There's no way they're taking Purdy out. There's 0% chance.
I agree. But if you want to, like, kind of, you know, talk yourself into the Eagles having the coaching matchup, you could argue the Eagles outcoached the Niners that day when you consider the Niners had the more talented roster. And the Eagles, again, the coach's fault / player's fault for the called back touchdowns, but they were right in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, think about this. In different corners, I'm pretty sure. Jalen Reagor beat these corners deep for a touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Right? So, or I shouldn't say these corners. He beat this defense mm-hmm. deep for a touchdown. So I think that's an encouraging sign. Kittle didn't have a great game that day. Debo had like 90 yards on 6 catches, but 40 of them was on one catch. So, you know, I think that the coaching matchup all year, when we talked about the Niners, we would probably sit here and go, man, Kyle Shanahan and DeMeco Ryans, that's got to be one of the best coaching staffs in the league. I even thought against Dallas, and, you know, maybe you were shot backing up.
I kept the headphones in my ear so I could listen while I was shot backing and stuff. But
that is a benefit of streaming.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it was not.
Right.
I was not locked in on the game the way I should have been.
But he made a lot of, I thought, questionable calls. You know, like punting. I think he punted from his own 38.
Yeah, I saw a few of those.
There was like a weird really field strange. Goal situation. Yeah. Like, so I actually think Sirianni in game, and we talked about this on the last pod with that 538. Like study they did, that Sirianni's added in-game decisions more value to his team than any other. Shanahan in-game.
Well, Shanahan still has the worst in-game coaching experience in the history of football. I mean, like, he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons in the 28-3 game.
Like, and then, like, last year against Dallas, they won that game. But I remember, like, he didn't do some great things there.
Shanahan has some very, very, very notable coaching moments in the negative.
So I actually think, you know, for, I guess, Monday through Saturday, you can look and go, maybe Shanahan and DeMeco Ryans have the advantage. And I definitely want to talk about Gannon and DeMeco. Mm-hmm. But throughout the week, maybe they have the advantage. I think on Sunday, this coaching staff, the Eagles coaching staff, is the better game day coaching staff than the Niners.
I love it. I'm with you. All right. And we obviously will spend the whole week getting into this match of digging in as, you know, the NFC Championship game in Philly. It is pretty thrilling. Like, quickly.
I have some more stats and things.
Okay, so throw some
stats. We don't have to rush through them. But.
Well, I was just going to ask about the Bengals and the Chiefs, but let's do that at the very end. So throw me a few stats things.
So I think the absolute, without question, like, no disputing it fact, I can't think of any more superlatives, but let's just say I believe in it. Mm-hmm. Turnovers are the key to this game. 100%. The rosters are really close. And when you look at turnovers, and this is when I tweeted against Seattle that the Eagles will beat the Niners by 10+. This year, the 49ers, when they only have one turnover or fewer, so they have 0 turnovers or 1, they're 4-3. They're an average team when they don't get turnovers, right? When they get more, obviously, they have a better record,
right? They only have 4 losses, so they must be pretty good with that.
Yeah. Right. But so on one hand, I was like, all right, well, I'm sure every team when they only get one or fewer turnovers isn't that good because it means you're not getting that many turnovers. But you ready for this, James?
Been ready.
The Eagles with Jalen, a quarterback, are 9-0 when they only get one or fewer turnovers.
Wow.
So when the Eagles...
That is a stat right there.
Thank you, right? It's like, I feel like I'm Ruben Frank up in here. But so when the Eagles get one or fewer turnovers, so basically like their defense isn't giving the ball to offense a ton, 9-0 with Hurts. When the Niners aren't being given extra possessions, they're only 4-3. They're an average team. This team relies on turnovers. And it's one of Jalen Hurts' best qualities. He takes care of the football. So if you tell me the Eagles win the turnover battle on Sunday, they're winning the game. The Niners need extra possessions to score. The Eagles don't. They have a better offense. They don't need extra possessions. And both these offenses are going against good defenses. You know, again, we'll talk about throughout the week, which is better. But the Niners defense, despite what the public is going to think, is not that much better than the Eagles defense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They're not, right?
They're not.
So ultimately, this is going to come down to which quarterback takes care of the ball. And then obviously fumbles from skill players. But if Jalen plays Jalen's game, if he's calm, if he doesn't put the ball in harm's way, the Eagles will win the turnover battle. And I think that's how they win the game. But to bring it back to my like core thing of football, if Jalen outplays Purdy, they'll win the game.
And
you would hope that he would.
Yeah.
You know, unless Jalen just comes out and, you know, completely bombs it in a big spot and Purdy's like the next coming of Brady and we have no idea. But you would think that the Eagles have the big quarterback advantage here. And especially when it comes to turnovers, which the Niners really, really need, It's a massive advantage of this
game. Yeah, and Purdy, like, you know, not that we've watched a ton of Brady, but both playoff games, there were opportunities to turn the ball over that teams didn't take advantage of.
Yeah.
And the Eagles have been very good at taking advantage of those opportunities when they come their way.
And they're good at creating them. Yeah, they're good at making the quarterback put the ball in harm's way.
Absolutely. And again, in the link, with it being loud, with all that stuff, I do think all that stuff's going to play a role in making it harder for Purdy to do what he's been doing, you know? So, yeah, I think, again, it is funny because, you know, we were hanging in the playoffs. There was, at least from a lot of people, so much, you know, concern and consternation. Right. Obviously, it didn't look good and all that. And now, you know, I would be surprised if, and I know there's going to be Eagles fans who think the Niners will win and this and that and all that, but I would be.
It's a legitimate game.
And I think Eagles fans should and probably do feel confident going into this game because, again, like, we were reminded that the Eagles were the best team all season, and we saw that team on Saturday night, and it's like, oh, yeah, Lane looks great. Jalen looks great.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a great warm-up game.
Let's freaking go, dude.
Yeah, thanks for the Giants to, you know.
Yeah, they needed the little, you know,
right. warm-up. It's like when, you know, like in the preseason, like a pro team will scrimmage against, you know, like a minor league team to kind of get the
something
yeah,
like
you
that.
See this in soccer a lot. That, like a Premier League team will play against a team, a division below, just to get the juices going.
Baseball, spring training, they'll play against like Florida Atlantic.
Right,
yeah,
100%. Right. So that's kind of what it was.
I think you nailed it. Yeah. I think that's exactly what
The Giants gave them their mojo back. Now, and to your point about Eagles fans, last week I think Eagles fans have picked against the Eagles, were talking themselves into it out of fear. This week, I think it's not fair to look at Eagles fans and go, oh, you're picking against them.
No.
You know, like
it's
this is
legit match. Like, it's line is under three for a reason. Like, it's a real matchup.
It is. It'll be a good game.
I
kind of wish it was at night. Like, I know right now because you're tired, you're probably not feeling that, but it is kind of lame to think it'll start with the sun up.
So, yeah, from a link feel perspective, I'm kind of bummed about that, too. Now, again, as you just pointed out, very happy to do a pod earlier in the evening rather than later with the way I'm feeling at this particular moment.
Correct.
But I'm with you. I think it would have been a little more fun under the lights and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you take what you can get.
Take what you can get.
I won't complain too much about it. All right, you got any other stats, any other Eagle stuff before we talk about
Bengals? I actually have a ton, but I think we should save them. For another day.
Tomorrow,
we'll today is just a feel it out there.
Get where
I had to get the turnover thing out there.
I'll be less tired tomorrow, I would think, you know, so that's good.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, let's also remember Jalen Hurts wasn't even born yet the last time the Dallas Cowboys went to an NFC Championship game. I should
there
make sure
go.
That's out there. Not even born yet!
Well, the other thing, you know, and you never want to see injuries, but when Pollard goes down, you're thinking like, man, if they can find a way to squeak through this.
I know.
I mean, then the guy missed, you know, got blocked, but he misses his first extra point. Like, if Dallas could have found a way to squeeze that out, I think there would have been legit, like, blowout potential.
I know.
You know?
That would have been epic.
But the Niners are not going to get blown. You know, who knows? You don't want to say.
It's a tougher matchup. But you know what? Like we said, the two best teams are square and all.
But there are some similarities between them and the Vikings in 2017. When you think about, like, the Vikings, their strength was on the defensive side of the ball. I think this offense is better than the Vikings' offense. But Case Keenum and Brock Purdy.
Similar-ish, yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Similar. Now, one's a journeyman and one's not. But similar in where, like, you're not worried
about
him.
What the hell Brock Purdy is. Like, we have no
idea.
It's a good
point.
That's what the, you know?
Yeah,
no idea.
He's probably already made himself a lot of money. Like,
oh,
he's in the league for as long as he wants.
It is a wild thing that, like, we really don't know. I mean, guys have had, good starts to careers and fallen off. So it is a fascinating thing when you look at it. All right, Bills-Bengals, because one of those two teams will, assuming the Eagles can handle business on Sunday.
Well, Chiefs-Bengals.
What'd I say?
Bills-Bengals.
Yeah, excuse me. Bills-Bengals we just watched. Chiefs-Bengals.
Chiefs-Bengals.
You know, Mahomes, the high angle sprain, they're saying he's going to play. What about your thoughts? And the Bengals just dismantling the Bills. Just like they won 27-10. It could have been 40-10.
You have to wonder if Buffalo is like, maybe we should build that dome. Like, let's be real here. Like, early in the game, he misses Stephon Diggs in the dome. Who knows if he misses
that's
that?
Great.
Like, who would I rather play if I'm the Eagles?
Well, just how you feel about the game and then you know?
I mean, Mahomes' ankle thing
is
interesting.
Yeah, because Burrow looks.
And this sounds crazy because I think the logical choice is like you just don't pick to play Mahomes.
Yeah.
It might be you don't pick to play Burrow.
I might be, dude.
Because I think ultimately this Eagles defense matches up better against Mahomes. Mahomes now, is a little more like,
the
you know,
one thing you can say is that the O-line worries for the Bengals.
Like, yeah, that's
it,
the other
thing. It didn't come back to bite him against the Bills because the Bills don't have a great pass rush without Von Miller, but like, feels like this Eagles D-line could eat against them. So,
and
like,
Burrow can move, but he can't
he's
move.
He's not running.
Yeah.
He's just pocket mobility and
stuff.
Yeah,
he'll get like, he'll get like 6 yards.
I actually think, you know, it's funny enough, the way it's shaking out with you know, the Bills falling off, with the Mahomes injury and stuff, you know, it does feel open in that way. You know, it doesn't.
Well, I think the Eagles are playing like the best team in the NFL.
They are, and we talked all season. It's like, oh, the Chiefs and Bills, the Chiefs and Bills, the this and that, this and that, and like now it does feel like no matter who it is, like. You know, I think anyone can win the Super Bowl. Any of these four teams left could absolutely win it. But I do feel like you go into the Super Bowl feeling better about your chances if you win on Sunday.
I take that back. I think the Bengals are playing like the best team in the NFL. When you consider they went into Buffalo. But I'm saying when you consider who they played versus the Eagles, who they played. You know,
sure.
And look, you saw that with Dallas just embarrassing Tampa.
But I mean, the Bengals also, it took Tyler Huntley extending the ball from way too far.
Yeah,
out,
no, like, yeah, for sure. For but I'm talking first right round now. Yeah,
I know, 100%. But right now is one. You know, I mean, the Eagles just won 38-7. I know opponent, but like, it's not like you can.
Right,
you
it's
know,
close.
So it's I guess
I shouldn't have said it as definitively as I did because the Bengals are playing.
They're playing very.
That's
good.
An incredibly impressive win they just got.
No doubt.
Now the Bills might not be as good as we thought.
Yes, I
but
mean,
going
oh,
into
almost
Buffalo,
lost to Skylar Thompson. Maybe that really was
100%. I think I would rather play the Chiefs.
I think so too. Just because I think so too.
I think I can picture Burrow just sitting back there and like, and they have better receivers.
Yeah, and especially if they can, you know, if they can get the pressure on Mahomes with an injured Mahomes, I mean, that changes him as a player completely.
100%.
So, and Heinkel's brains are no joke. Like, he'll play, but he's definitely not going to be as mobile as he could be.
And
so.
I mean, that's got to hurt. I mean, as someone that is not only dealing with flooding, you're also dealing with an ankle injury.
I'm just a mess.
You know,
right now.
You're basically Mahomes at this point. It would really be like, would you rather play Joe Burrow or James in the Super Bowl? Is essentially what it is. And I'll tell you, no offense, you are a winner. I'll probably take my chances with the injured ankle.
I think that's probably the smart move. That's the smart move.
And the Andy thing. I mean,
All right. So again, thank you to the Eagles. We'll be back all week, every single day this week. Yet
no
again,
no final thought.
I'm getting there.
Okay, it sounded like you were rapping.
I'm just getting ready to rap.
I feel like I wrote down a final thought.
So we are going to be here every day this week as we continue our run every day. And my voice is hurting from yelling Dallas sucks. Like I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm tired. I'm beat up. But I'm here, and I'm going to be here every day.
We get energetic, James.
The
tomorrow.
Eagles are going to be playing in the NFC Championship game on Sunday, and that freaking rocks. All right, final thought, my friend.
Yes. Go for it.
Oh, you don't have one?
I'll think of one more.
Well, how about I'll give you one? You want to do a quick shout-out to our Temple Owls as your final
thought? Oh, yeah, there we go. They beat the number one team in the country.
You're damn right they did, buddy.
Here's my final thought. You ready? All right, so Temple wins. They beat the number one team, Houston, whatever. So awesome for them. Temple made very proud, all those things. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll buy myself a Temple basketball jersey because I want to rep my school. They just did something cool. That rhymed. But like, dude, and shout out to Temple. And I mean this as constructive criticism. Their choice of like jerseys to buy is horrendous.
Really?
The only one they have looks like it's like a bootleg. Like I wouldn't wear it. Like, so here would be my final thought to Temple. And if you go to Temple and you're at, well, also, did you hear the, Temple sent out an email by accident to a bunch of people saying they'd been picked as the most, like the best 30 under 30 people alumni. And then they sent an email 2 minutes later being, oops, my bad. You actually weren't selected.
Oh, no. And that's terrible.
Funny story. I've spent the last week being a little offended. I didn't even get a
email, even though you're over 30.
I just realized it because I'm over 30. So I didn't get it. I'm like, I didn't even get the mistake email saying I'm a proud alumni.
Hilarious.
So that would be my thought. Temple, I love you, buddy. Like, let's step the gear up here. Let's get good quality gear. The basketball jerseys were horrendous, the selection I saw. So it's not my best final thought, but that's my final thought.
You know, Temple won, that's all matters. I'm not going to give my best. I'm saving final thoughts for when I got a little more action for it, but I'll just throw a... I'm so tired, Elliot.
You got it. It's okay.
I know. I'll just throw out one of my weaker final thoughts.
Nice.
A PSA for parents. Don't buy kinetic sand. It's the worst.
Although you could have used it for flooding.
Yeah, it's the worst toy ever, and the sand gets everywhere. And it says, honestly, this is really, I'll do an overall, but just try and avoid toys or toy sets that have tiny little toys as part of it, because your daughter's going to fall in love with those tiny little toys because they're so cute and they're so little. And then, oh, I need Chelsea shoes. And then you spend 20 minutes looking
for
Chelsea shoes. Avoid little whenever you can and avoid kinetic sand.
Probably a good life lesson in general.
Yes. Yes, you know? It is.
Avoid little.
All right. We'll be back every day this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm going to sleep tonight. Fingers crossed. No flooding. Pray for no floods.
Again, you were very sympathetic through the flooding, so you don't deserve this. But I'd like to say anybody that listened that was like, oh, it's water, blah, 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 blah. This could be you. Do you hear, James? This could be you. So don't disrespect water, rain.
Yep.
We are a pod that respects weather.
Yeah, you're damn right we are, yeah. Buddy. I've come fully around. It's your best take, and I didn't know it at the time.
Tried to tell you.
You did. If only I'd listened.
I know.
All right. Well, at least you know what? Eagles won. Dallas lost.
It's going to be a fun week.
It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow. He's Elliot M. James.